Good morning. I like this new little, it's a little bit higher for me. I like when we do hymns, and I like how diverse our worship is. When we do hymns, it brings back memories when I was a lot younger and a lot more. Oh, Super Church, sorry. Thanks, wife. Kristen, you got to do jumping jacks or something. Get my attention. Super Church is going down. Terry told me this morning that I can take as long as I want. So, buckle up. No. I always love that. When Joseph Okokpo comes, he always says something like 2 hours, and we all laugh, but there's this kind of, is it really going to be 2 hours? But it's not going to be that. Today we're talking about the power of prayer. And as I was preparing the lesson, I got to thinking about power. And I thought about electrical power, and an incident came back to my memory. We, as the kids were growing up, they showed goats. And so we raised goats, and we fed out some cattle, and even had a horse there for a time. And so needless to say, we had a fence, and we had a hot wire that ran inside the fence so they wouldn't tear up the fence. And if any of you have ever done this, you're to put a copper pole deep into the ground, rod, past the frozen line, right? Past where the ground freezes. I did that, but I didn't put it deep enough. And so when it got winter time, I noticed that the animals were not being held off the fence. And so I'd go by and I'd tap it, and I could feel that shock, and I thought, there's not much air, so I just grab it. Well, there's not really shock there. Okay, it's not working. But I didn't realize, hey, when the ground thaws, it's going to be going, right? So sure enough, the ground thawed, and I went by there, and as was my habit, I just grabbed a hold of that electric fence, and I've never had the paddles on me, but it felt like I had the paddles on me. And I stumbled, and I found my wife in the garage, and I sat down, and she said, "What happened to you?" And I said, "I almost died. I grabbed the wire. And my wife said two things. She said, "What'd you do that for?" I did not have a good reason why I did it. And then she said, "Ah, you'd be all right." And I was all right. But it reminded me of the power, right? And then you take the power lines that run across. And birds are always sitting on the power line. And I looked up, they don't get electrocuted, right? And you think, well, they're not touching the ground and all that. Here's the answer that at least Google gave me. The answer to this question has to do with how electricity flows. It will always move along the path of least resistance and flows best through conductors. The copper in electrical wires is a great conductor. Birds are not a good conductor. That's one reason they don't get shocked when they sit on electrical wires. The energy bypasses the birds and keeps flowing along the wire. And it may think of us, right? We come to know the Lord. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. We have God in us. We have the power infinite. But we're perched on it and don't tap into it. Just like the birds. I could sum up God's power real easy. I can't describe it. It is beyond description. The verse that comes to me is Luke 18:27, where it says, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Right? What we can't do, he can do. What's beyond our mind and our abilities, God can handle. There is nothing beyond God. That is the power that comes with the prayer. I've never done this, but I'm going to do this today. For everybody here, I want you to raise your hand if God has ever answered a prayer for you. Okay, put your hands down. I knew it was going to be like that because I know God. He delivers. And I could stand up here this whole time and just recount you prayer after prayer that God has answered in my life. But I chose to take one from my dad. My dad, no longer with me, but when he was a young man, he dipped snuff. And addiction is very strong in my family. When I say strong, my grandfather, who I'd mentioned before, that was bank robber and all that good stuff, but he smoked. And he had one collapsed lung, a cigarette in one hand, oxygen in the other, and told the doctor, I'd rather die than quit smoking. That's the kind of addiction that runs in my family. And so for my dad, he got addicted to Copenhagen. And one night, he asked the Lord, take this from me. The next day, he never touched it again. Now, you guys that know addiction, that's not something a human can do. You can't just stop cold turkey and be done something with you're addicted to. That is the power of the Lord. Something simple. And I can stop the sermon right there. But we need to know how to pray serious to God. The first thing we need to know is in prayer, we need to speak to God. I know that might sound funny to you, but you can't expect the prayer to be answered if you don't pray. Think about the power in our words. Just in a human, I have the power to build somebody up or tear somebody down, all with what I say. You look great today, or you look like 100 miles of bad road. Bring it up, bring it down, right? Without ever touching the person, just my words have that power. Think about God's power. If I was to turn you back to Genesis 1:3, and I was to ask you, how did God create the world? Did he do it in thought? Did he do it with his hands? No. He spoke it, right? He said, let there be light, and there was light. Think about when they came to Jesus to arrest him. And Jesus says, who are you here for? And they go, Jesus of Nazareth. And John 18:6 says, when Jesus said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Just his word knocked them down. That is the power that God puts on words. So it's important for us to speak to the Lord. Now you might think for a minute, well, Kirk, I pray internal. That's okay. The Bible calls that praying in your heart. And I want us to look at that today. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 1, 10 through 13. 1 Samuel 1, 10 through 13. I always say it multiple times because I always can't remember what he just said. So 1 Samuel 1, 10 through 13. I'm going to give you background here on what's happening in this story. Who we're talking about is Hannah. Hannah was married to a man who had another wife. And that other wife had plenty of children. Hannah didn't have any. And in their culture and in this time, if you didn't have a child, you were considered either cursed by God or less worth than a wife that did have a child. To make matters worse, this other wife was not nice about it. So every year when they would go up to temple and they would go to pray, every year, year after year, the woman would make fun of her, give her a hard time. Don't have any kids. No sense in you praying. No sense in you doing that. You're cursed. And Hannah was broken before the Lord. So let's look at it. 1 Samuel 1:10. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, If you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. And she continued praying before the Lord. Eli, who was the priest there, observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord. I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord." Hannah knew that she needed to speak to God, even though no one could hear her. You don't have to use audible words, but prayer doesn't work unless you're speaking to God. He's our Father. I'm a father of four. If they don't ask me for something, how do I know? God always knows, but he still wants us to make the effort to ask. So we speak. The second thing I want us to talk about, we've got speaking to God in prayer. The second one is being persistent. And Jerry touched on this last week. So turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, it'll be verse 1. Luke chapter 11. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Teaching his disciples, because they asked him. Verse 1, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, do what? Say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Obviously, that is not the prayer verbatim that we pray every day. It's an example of how we should pray. And notice that Jesus says, we call our Lord Father. That's the Son of God telling us, hey, it's okay to call him Father. He tells us that, and then he goes into verse 5. "And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.'" I don't know about you guys, but you show up at my house at midnight for some bread, I'm not going to be happy with you. Verse 7, "And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed,'" which was their custom then. "'I cannot get up and give you anything.'" So the guy tells him, buzz off, leave me alone. It's midnight. I'm not giving you any bread. Look at verse 8. "I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend. Yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." Which means because the guy doesn't go away and keeps knocking, "I need this bread. Got to have this bread. I need this bread." Not because he's his friend, but because he wants him to leave, wants it to be done, he gets up and gives him the bread. Jerry gave this one last week. Turn with me to Luke 12. No, sorry. Luke 11. Da, 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 da. Luke 18. There we go. So many Lukes, I didn't know which one to grab. Luke 18, 1 through 8. Jerry did this last week. We're going to do it again. "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." Okay, gives you the reason. You ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to him, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Here it is. Jesus is not saying we're bothering God. What he's saying is, be persistent in your prayer. Don't lose heart. If you don't see the answer tomorrow, doesn't mean you stop praying today. Continue. Pray, pray, pray. Because what does it do? It shows that you're serious with what you're praying. There's a interesting thing that comes in the next verses in Luke. So jump back with me to Luke 11. This next verse, verse 9, when I go to prepare a sermon, sometimes I will cross-reference different versions of the Bible so I have the best understanding of the context. And on this one, I grab my dad's old Bible. And the only verse that was highlighted is this next one. Verse 9, it says, and I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Sometimes I think we think that's only applying to somebody becoming saved, becoming a Christian. It's not. Jesus is talking about prayer. Ask, and it'll be given. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened. There's a phrase that I want you to take with you. You need to be in the right place for these things to apply. And what I mean by that is, you can't be living in sin and pray for God to bless you over here and expect that to happen. Be real, be still, and be in God's will. I'll give it to you again. Be real, be still, and be in God's will. Don't be pretending to be something you're not to God, because he knows you. Don't be living in sin and expect to be blessed, because he knows where you're at. Be real, be still, and be in God's will. The next verse, verse 10. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. There is no but there. Verse 11. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That last part is about salvation. If you go to God and say, God, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, Jesus is not going to go, no. It's not going to happen. It's a guarantee. He doesn't say no to you. It's granted. That's why context is so important here. Because there's preachers out there today that'll say, I call them health and wealth preachers. If you ask for it, if I ask for a new sports car out there, God's going to give me that sports car. He's not a genie, right? But that's the way they preach it. Because it says, ask and it will be given to you. But they leave out the part about the Father. See, If my child asks me for a fish, I'm not going to give him a snake or give her a snake. But if my child goes, I don't want that fish. I want that big catfish at the bottom of the pond. Go get that one for me. I just gave you a fish. You don't need that big catfish, do you? See, the problem is we get caught up in, well, what I want. God said he'll supply our needs, right? So here is a father. I have four children. The youngest is now driving. And each of them, when they turned of age to drive, I got them an older car. This is my preference. I'm not telling you this is what you got to do. But as a father, I know that I'm not going to get them a new car because I know how things can go when you're young and driving. And I know what knuckleheads got licenses in their parking lot at school. It's like a minefield, just me dropping off a kid. So I'm not about to buy a new car for somebody who's just starting to drive, right? Now, they may want a new car, but I know better. Why? Experience, knowledge, time. So, young man, young woman out there, you're praying for somebody specific that you want to marry. I want to marry Sue Ann. I want to marry Jethro. This is the person God showed me the things, da da da. Well, what if God knows that's not the right person for you? Right? You've got your eyes set. This is what it needs to be. And you're not opening up and going, you know what? God, send me who you've got for me. And let it be clear to me when they've been sent. Make sense? He is a father, not a genie. The third piece, so we've gotten speak to God, be persistent. And the last one, as I went through this, I thought, when is the last time I heard about this? And I can't tell you. Fasting. Fasting is mentioned 70 times in the Bible. 70. And I can't tell you the last time I heard the word. And fasting and prayer go hand in hand through the Bible. Even Jesus, before he started his ministry, what'd he do? He fasted in the wilderness. Fasting is another way of being serious with God. Let's look at some scripture. Turn with me to Matthew 6, 16 through 18. Matthew 6, 16 through 18. This is Jesus speaking. He says, and when you fast, does it say if you fast? No, Jesus expects it. He says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now we're going to jump to the Old Testament. Ezra. And you might be going, where is that? Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. Ezra. Ezra 8, 21. I'm having trouble getting there too. Ezra 8, 21. Give everybody just a minute. Ezra 8, 21. He says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Avea that we might humble ourselves before God. He gives you reasons why they're doing it, that we might humble ourselves before God, to seek from him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods. Notice what he's praying about, travel. For I was ashamed to ask the king for a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy on our way, since we had told the king, the hand of our God is for good on all who seek him, and the power of his wrath is against all who forsake him. Verse 23, so we fasted and implored our God for this, and he listened to our entreaty. Fasting is being serious with God. In Acts 13:3, they were sending Paul and Barnabas out, and it says, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. In our society, if we're fasting, we're trying to lose weight. Biblically, God says, you want to get serious with me? Deprive yourself. And why is that important? And I'll get on a little soapbox here. I've heard people say, well, I fast on this thing and I fast on that. No, it needs to be something you need, particularly food. Why? Because if I stop eating, every time I get hungry, what do I think about? I think about God, and I think about what I'm praying about. Why am I hungry? I'm hungry because this. Scripture says, pray continually. The only way we do that is God is always on our mind. Now you think about your last week. I can tell you about my last week. God was not on my mind all week, all the time. You want to get serious with God, you speak to him, you're persistent with him, and you need to fast. You need to go without and say, I commit this. Now, I'm not saying God won't answer a prayer if you don't fast. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you want to be serious? Be serious. Make that move. And I'm telling you, it get to be about noon, 3 o'clock, stomach's growling, drink water, but you're going to think of God. You're going to think of that prayer. You're going to be serious. I think we lose that somehow in our society. 70 times fasting is mentioned. 70 times. God answers the small as well as the large. I could get up here and talk about the Ukraine and all that's going on. God is bigger than Russia. But he's also in the detail of your life. Look with me at Luke 12, 6 and 7. Luke 12, 6 and 7. Luke 12, 6 and 7. Jesus is again speaking here. He says, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? What he means by that is they're worthless. And not one of them is forgotten before God. Now where we're living, more out into farmland, we have, it's geese time. And where we live, it's like something out of the bird movie. They're flying in a swarm, thousands of them. And God knows each one of those geese. And then he says, why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. You think about how much hair you lose every day. With my daughters and wife, I could tell you from the sink how much hair they lose every day. It's a lot. And God knows every moment, every second, every count of the hair of your head. Why wouldn't he care about the small things in your life? He says, "Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows." It is okay to pray about the small stuff. In fact, God's good with it. Remember, He's a father. I want to know about the small stuff as well as the big stuff. So here's a small one for you. My most recent prayer that was answered. I needed to get a new truck. Well, a used truck for me, because John was getting my old truck. I looked at a place, saw some trucks that looked like something I wanted. My wife and I went. I'm not a mechanic. I wasn't going to take each one of these we drove to a mechanic. I needed some help. So before we got there, I prayed, "God, point us in the right direction for the truck that's going to be good to us, that's going to last us, that'll run well." Simple prayer, but sincere. We get there. First truck we get into, it is the least expensive. I like it. Runs well. Great. There's some other trucks there. They've got more bells and whistles. So we get in the first one, and we start down the road, and it's just the engine, you can just hear it. It does not sound good. So we come back, and I think three more we got into. And for those of you that have ever dealt with a dealership, they make a point of it not to have any error messages, right? The other three we got in, each of them had engine light. The last one, I didn't even pull it out. Started it, heard the engine, saw the engine light. This is no good. It was clear to me, the first one that I drove was the one God said, "Yeah, you're good." And I said to my wife, "What are the odds that all those rest of them on their lot, we could hear the engine failing or we could see the engine light?" I know from experience that those guys will do what they got to do to make sure it looks nice when you're driving it. And they knew I was coming. Right? It's a simple prayer. God cares about the small things. The hairs even on our heads. Be still, be real, and be in God's will. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. You want to know more of God? Pray, and then search this thing. He'll open it up to you. You will see things that you never saw before. Anyone that's here that's had more ice cream sundaes than you young guys, meaning my dad would say that for an amount of time. But what that means is, that's why they call it the living word. I can read the same passage I read 10 years ago, and it tells me something different. There is no other book in this world like that. It is Him speaking to us. In prayer, if you're asking how you should live, how you should be, where you should go, where God is, He answers here. He doesn't need a burning bush anymore. He's given us His words. Terry said at the last men's breakfast that this is about relationship. And he's right. Prayer is about relationship. If I pray to God and I want Him to answer me and I never open this, it's as if I called you on the phone and before you could answer, I went, it is the same. You are looking for an answer and you're closing the phone, you're turning it off before you give Him time to answer. The living word. Kakubi's going to come here in a minute and we're going to do one close. If you're here today and what I've talked about, you think that's kind of fantastic, kind of wild. I hope you saw the hands that were raised. It's not me up here making up something about how God works. I could call these people up here and each of them would testify about how God delivers. And if you've never done that, if you haven't confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, if you've never done that, you're not saved. And there's no better day than today. If you're here today and something's bothering you and you're not sure what that is, and you know that you haven't done what I just talked about, you can come talk to me, you can talk to Brian, talk to Terry, and we'd be glad to open up the scripture with you.